B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
So we got some NFL action this weekend as the playoffs get to another level with the Rams-Packers on Saturday, also Ravens-Bills the night game, and then on Sunday, Browns-Chiefs and Buccaneers-Saints, but there's also some Eagle issues to bat around, and we'll do that with our next guest, Paul Hebekides, the great Hembo. You see him on Get Up. He is really the orchestrator of that whole show. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline, Bounce Forward. Hello, Hembo.
Mike, you missed. There is an awful lot that has happened in the world of sports since you and I spoke this time last week.
That is correct. So let's deal with the Eagle action first, all right? Mm-hmm. The coach, all of a sudden, on the hot seat, a day later, bang, he is fired, and now they are in a search. And then there was a ridiculous press conference by the owner of the team. I just let you sort out everything.
Okay, so my big picture takeaways would be this. The day after Doug Peterson inexplicably benched Jalen Hurts in the second half of that game against Washington, I texted you that a coach only does that if he knows he's not getting fired or wants to be fired. Well, as it turns out, it was B, because it seems to me at least that this feels more like a divorce than it does anything else. This is, the mom wants kids, the dad doesn't, and you just have to go your separate ways, because Jeffrey Lurie made it pretty clear in that press conference that he mangled, that the next 3, 4, 5 years are his priority, and I would imagine that he has the ear of Howie Roseman in making that, right? Doug Peterson, on the other hand, is a coach. He cares about 2021, and if he's not sort of invested in the long-term buy-in of that program, then this seems as good a time as any to get rid of the guy. And even though I am on record as saying that Carson Wentz was the biggest problem in 2020, look, I mean, this was, and the Eagles are the most disappointing team in the league this year. They played in the worst division in the history of the NFL, were the first team eliminated from it, and Doug Peterson was the only coach that returned from last season. So it's very difficult for me to sit here and argue in favor of Doug Peterson staying. I think ultimately they got this thing right.
I think they did too, but I disagree with you on the methodology, because that game that he threw, I think, was a direction from above. And the fact that proves to me that he did everything they wanted, and finally he grew a set and went in there and said, no, I, this is my idea, blah, 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 and it wasn't good enough for what they have. Oh, you don't want to play ball anymore? Now you're gone. That's what I think happened.
That very well might be right, and it seems clear based on all the reporting after the fact that Doug was sort of fed up with this, right? Like he was wearing the season on his face throughout the season, and it seems like there's an awful lot of clutter sort of coming down from on high and making its way onto the football field, and no coach, especially one who had won a Super Bowl recently, would be comfortable with that. It's hard to blame him for it.
Yeah, see, I'm interested in your take though, because you go, yeah, they clearly want to rebuild, and part of that rebuild would have been like Jeffrey Lurie losing that last game to get a better draft pick. I you don't see that?
Look, I don't know that we will ever know exactly why that happened that way. It's hard to know whether or not we should take anything that they say at face value. We probably shouldn't. There's a really good chance that Howie and Jeff had a conversation and said, we need to lose this game if at all possible, and Doug Peterson was sort of made the scapegoat for it. You definitely might be right about that, but up to that point, we had been led to believe very clearly that he was likely to return. So maybe they sort of, let him out to the slaughter, and, you being close to that situation, you could definitely be right about it. That's just not how I see it.
All right, let's look now at the quarterback situation, because it changed the dynamic there also. There are a lot of people that said there's no way that Carson came back with Doug, that the relationship was fractured. So now he goes, and now Carson, unless he lights it up, is going to be known as the coach killer if they try to bring him back. Where do you see that the quarterback situation going?
Yeah, that's right. In talking to all of our people this week, it seems clear that while it is not now guaranteed that Carson Wentz will be back, it is certainly a whole lot more likely than it was when you and I had this conversation a week ago. And it seems awfully likely to me that Jeffrey Lurie is a really big fan of the guy, right? Like, he gave Carson Wentz this massive contract. I think there's probably a decent amount of that engineering coming from on high. What I hope is that he doesn't make Carson Wentz's rehabilitation the primary means of his decision for next head coach. Like, if he's actually going to focus this program 3, 4, 5 years ahead, he needs to find someone that certainly, views Wentz favorably, but not someone not a quarterback whisperer type who doesn't have any other kind of experience. We've seen a lot of teams hire coaches for that very reason and fail miserably. So I'm hoping they don't choose to overemphasize that in their process.
Are your NFL experts that show up on Get Up, are they endorsing that they can make it work with Carson Wentz? Or are they endorsing Hurts for a new coach? Like, what's going on in their heads about this?
So most people think that Carson Wentz is going to be back next year, probably more because of the financials than anything else. The only circumstance in which we see Jalen Hurts as being likely to be the Eagles' week one starter next season is if Jeffrey Lurie did find a way to lure Lincoln Riley here from Oklahoma, which would indicate theoretically that Lincoln Riley is a big fan of the player, right? That's really the only way. What I'm curious about is whether or not should Carson Wentz be this sort of projected week one starter, whether or not Jalen Hurts can coexist with him, because we know for sure that Carson Wentz, based on all of that reporting at the end of the season, isn't all that comfortable competing or being in a potential backup role, right? So the Eagles might have to choose between those guys this offseason and move on from Jalen Hurts after year one, which would be fairly bizarre, but wouldn't stun me.
Yeah, and that's what I think the ultimate solution has to be. Oof, that they move on from Jalen Hurts and try to get value for him. Let's look at the potential coaches, because they're talking to everybody, including Kellen Moore, of all people. I can see where this is going to get really ridiculous, but where do you think they're going, and what are your NFL people saying?
The Eagles, like almost everyone else, are interviewing everybody, except they're sort of a week late in the process, although it doesn't seem like that's going to hurt them too badly, because the only guy that's sort of lined up so far is Urban Meyer, and obviously there was never any affiliation there. It wouldn't at all surprise me if we flirt pretty hard with both Ryan Day from Ohio State and Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma. We know that Jeffrey Lurie in the past has been willing to go the college route, and I think he's, my guess, and because he prioritizes offense so much with his decisions in this regard, we'll look at their success at the college level, both in terms of their offenses collectively and their ability to develop quarterbacks year after year very positively. And if you're hiring one of those guys rather than a, say, hot coordinator, you know that at minimum they have the general head coaching skills and the college success to back it up. The NFL coordinator, like the hot coordinator type that I like most, that's in the conversation for the Eagles, is Arthur Smith of the Tennessee Titans, who, for my money, has done more with the collection of talent that he has been given than any coordinator in the league right now. So that's sort of my sense on the matter.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's look at the front office situation and what the NFL people are saying about how Howie Rosen was able to come out of that office still with his job. Peterson was not. And what the owner had to say about that and his justification of their talent selecting process.
Yeah, so that's a very difficult thing to reconcile, right? Howie Rosen seems to have 9 lives. It seems like the equity that he built up from building that Super Bowl team in 2017 lasted a whole lot longer than obviously Doug's. And I think the fact that they're up there in those palatial offices probably has a lot to do with that. There is really no way, though, that you can reconcile anything that Howie has done objectively the last few years in terms of the drafting, in terms of the trades, in terms of the free agents, and the player procurement at large has been really bad. And the Eagles are not only positioned very unfavorably from a financial standpoint right now, $51 million scheduled to be over the cap, that they've missed on a lot of these draft picks, and they have a full-blown quarterback controversy. So when you look at like sort of the foundational pieces of like a head coaching vacancy, I'm not sure that the Eagles don't rank very like at the very bottom of that list, although that was the case last time too. And within 2 years, he won us a Super Bowl.
All right, let's move on to the business here and the little inside information and tidbits that the people can use for this round of NFL playoff games. Let's start with the Rams and Packers. A tough road to go through Lambeau, but a lot of people like the Rams in this game.
Yeah, and I do too. So Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers have only lost 7 games together, but all 7 losses have one thing in common, Mikey, man. Their opponents predominantly play zone defense in those games, and the Rams play the most effective zone in the league, allowing a QBR of 35 and a touchdown interception ratio of 5-9. And on a per play basis, this Rams defense is actually in line to be the best unit since the 2015 Broncos. That team beat Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady and MVP Cam Newton and won the Super Bowl.
You sniffing outright?
I can't go there with Jared Goff, Edward Scissorhands, but like I think there's a real chance that you take the Rams, +6.5, +7. And the under in this
okay,
game.
All right, let's move on to the night game Saturday. Ravens at the Bills. Bills rolling, but they're only favored 2.5 in this game.
Yeah, this one, as a wise man would occasionally say, this is a bit of a smelly line, and I'll tell you why. The Ravens have rushed for 1,573 yards over their last six games, Mike. That's the highest total in a six-game span since the 1949 Eagles of NFL championship fame. Meanwhile, the Bills only lost three times this season, but allowed 601 yards rushing in those games. And though Buffalo is a slight favorite in Vegas, the old ESPN Football Power Index actually favors Baltimore by a hair in this one.
Mm. Okay, let's move on to Sunday. This looks like blowout city based on all the circumstances. I think the Browns had their shot. They shot it, and now they're up against the Chiefs in a double-digit line here.
That's how I see it, too. But I will provide a blueprint. Teams to beat Patrick Mahomes owned a +129 play advantage in those games. So not surprisingly, history says the Browns will need to sustain long scoring drives to have any chance to win it. But you know this well. With 2 weeks to prepare, Andy Reid teams are 20-3 in the regular season and 6-2 in the playoffs. That's 26-5 overall. Mike, that's the best record of any coach in the Super Bowl era. And he's 21-10 against the number in those games, for what it's worth.
All right, final game. Oh, everybody loves the Buccaneers in this game, which is totally disrespectful to the Saints, who are a 3-point favorite at home, a normal line. What's up with this game?
So the Saints generate pressure with their front four at the highest rate in the NFL. And the last time they saw the Bucs, Brady saw his highest pressure rate in a game in 4 years. But that Tampa O-line has since gotten its act together. Tom Brady has only been contacted 16 times in 8 games since that Week 9 loss. Further, over his last 5 games, Brady has completed 77% of his passes for more than 10 yards per attempt with 5 touchdowns when targeting Antonio Brown, who wasn't really a factor in either of those games. So if you want to dream on the Bucs, you do have some data with which to do it.
All right. Hemba, always a great time to talk to you. And thanks for the info. And we'll be following what's going on this weekend and talk to you later.
You're a good man.
There he is. Hemba, Comcast Business Hotline, Bounce 4.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.